B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, good morning. Welcome into the DraftKings Over Under Show. It is the Bankroll Boys. Dan Lifschitz is here. I'm Joe Murray. Tucker Silva helping us out as well today with you until 9 a.m. Phone number, if you want to jump aboard any game that is going on, anything you want to talk about, any betting prop, anything at all, it's the only place in the area to talk betting, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, 617-779-0985. You can tweet at us as well. We're at over under 985, but we have our own handles as well, at Dan Lifschitz, at Joey Murr. All right, one thing I wanted to bring up, Dan, last night, what a little sneaker, huh? Well, should I call it a sneaky line? I don't know. The Celtics have been favored, if you've wondered, over these last few games. They've struggled. And last night, they were -2.5. It was 3 at one point. Went down to 2.5 before a tip. And, you know, I tweeted it out. Wow, Celtics -2.5 last night versus the Pacers. And you know how people are in this town, you know? Before the game, oh, bet the house on the Pacers. Oh, that, you know. And I'm looking at it like, all right, they're at home, right? They're playing a Pacers team that... they're both struggling. Like, both teams were struggling at the moment. I don't know if they're struggling as bad as the Celtics, but they're like 4-6 in their last 10. And Sabonis makes the All-Star team, and it gets announced before the game that Jason Tatum's going to be a starter. Now that Kevin Durant's not going to start in the game. So, like, there's two big things that are happening right there. But I noticed a change in the Celtics last night. There was one clear thing that stood out to me. And the win last night. So before we get into that, Dan, the line, 2.5. Vegas is backing the Celtics. They are looking at the Celtics as they should win these games. Now, the Hawks game, like, they were favored. Why? On a back-to-back without Kemba Walker playing again? I don't get. See, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I didn't understand the line in either game. The outcome... Well, it could have came down to a four-point play at the end of the game. It didn't. But for the most part, though, I'm just curious how the Celtics were favored going in the last two games.
I mean, I think home court, the fact, again, I mean, I don't think that Vegas changes their power numbers based upon a stretch of 5, 6, 7 games. That's not usually something they do, especially over a 30-ish game sample. So, I mean, they're going to continuously stay with those power numbers, which is, you know, what they've done in the past, you know, few weeks. But the Celtics have really struggled. And, you know, last night, paid off. They looked much better. Kemba Walker was, which is, I'm assuming what you're going to say is the difference. Okay, I thought he was the difference. I thought that was the difference of the game, that Kemba Walker was aggressive, went to the hoop, was fantastic.
He hit some big shots late.
Played defense. He was everywhere. He had, to me, and for my money, Kemba Walker was the reason they won that game last night.
Yep. So the clear difference I noticed is look at the foul shots. Look at the foul line. I don't think I have seen the Celtics get to the line 30 times. And maybe we can backtrack it, but at least my eyes tell me. But Jeff Teague off the bench last night, I know he hasn't been great. I know. The thing is, I think they need to stick with him. They've gone away from him. They really have. He's been bad. But there's no doubt about it. He was the difference. Now, Kemba, clearly, Kemba was awesome. Late in the game, they brought him in. He was hitting big shots. That mid-range jumper was him. He hit some big threes as well. He had a couple of rebounds. He actually played better defense as well last night. But watching what Jeff Teague did when Kemba was out of the game in his 19 minutes, yeah, I know he shot 3 of 5. He got to the line 8 times, Dan. 8 times.
I mean, you're discussing the bench. I mean, that was the biggest difference. 14 from Robert Williams, 14 from Teague, 9 from Pritchard, 2 from Jonathan Green. I mean, they scored 19 points in the Hawks blow. The bench did. Now, again, I know we're kind of getting the Celtics away from the betting talk, but.
Blow games late. They almost blew it last night.
I mean, yeah.
Came down to 1 point.
Yeah, but again, but the NBA teams make runs. That's part of its game of runs. Like, you know, I can't really get on them for that. The fact is they closed the game. They won the game. Jason Tatum had 9 points. Jaylen Brown had 15 points. Those two guys were horrendous. Honestly, I'm getting really tired of the people who say, "Oh, stop criticizing Jason and Jaylen." No, I'm not. It's time.
Tatum sucked last night.
Like I get that COVID affects everyone differently, and I understand it from Tatum's perspective. It just. He struggled early, too. He struggled the whole game, the whole time.
He made no impact in the game.
None. In fact, it was a negative impact. He was a minus seven. A negative impact.
The only thing I saw him do was the Pacers went to his zone late in the game. They put him right at the foul line. He had a couple shots from right there. That's something they should think about. I mean, dude, his length, his size, instead of keeping him out on the perimeter, throw him in the middle right there. Another change that they made. They went offense for defense. Thompson, Williams, it worked.
Thompson was horrendous last year. Thompson, for my money, was worse than Jason Tatum. And so, after the game, I mean, listen, I like Greeny chirping Miles Turner. All the Celtics fans, "Oh, Miles Turner got burned on the pick and roll by Kemba." Yeah, he's a 7-footer going against a guy who's playing, and Kemba was playing at an elite level last night. Miles Turner outperformed Tristan Thompson's production in the first 5 minutes of the game. Yeah, like, so enough.
That's what I was going to say. We're on the Celtics flagship. There's a lot of things to get into. There's a ton of betting talk. We're talking about what happened last night.
Yeah.
But, like, before the game, an anonymous tweet comes out. Who said that? Like, dude, come on. Dwayne Wade said it on national television. Hey, for these guys to get to the next step, they need to make guys better. He wasn't crapping on the guys. He just said it.
No, this is a current NBA
player. No, I know. Yeah. I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But like, Dwayne Wade already said, and nobody said a thing. I tweeted, I'm like, whoa, Dwayne Wade just said for these guys to get to the next step, you know? And then, yeah, so, Bo, who is it, you coward, saying? And then early, Miles Turner, he disappeared late. Miles Turner went 17-10 last night.
Yeah,
and got to the line seven times.
And had three blocks. Like, he missed. He, don't get me wrong. He missed some big shots.
At the end of the game,
late.
he was at the three-point line way too much.
Well, yeah.
4-13.
Yeah, I mean,
That's not his game.
That's not his game. I mean, you know, you shoot 8 threes. That's not his game. He affected like 10 shots at the rim last night. Like, yes, did he play at an elite level last night? No. He was a good player. The stupidity around the Miles Turner stuff is ridiculous. He's a really good player. You missed out on a really good asset. Suck it up and deal with it. Like, really.
They missed out.
Suck it up. Danny Ainge basically admitted it on air. Basically said, there were some opportunities that we didn't take in the offseason. Who do you think he was talking about?
I would just like to say this as a guy who likes to just throw out takes a lot very often, because that's what we do here. The Pacers pantsed them years ago, and they thought they had the Paul George deal true, too. Danny Ainge thought that they had that Paul George deal done. Remember, it was the blueprint.
I know.
Paul George and Gordon Hayward here. And then they traded him right behind his back. Sam Presti's like, hey, you want a trade? Let's make a trade. Right behind his back. So, you know, to me, it's like Danny Ainge consistently does this with the Pacers. And overall, though, two good teams. I thought Sabonis was very good, especially late in the game.
He absolutely dominated Tristan Thompson the whole game. Dominated Tristan Thompson last night.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about the Pacers, they kept with him, but I think they tried to shoot from three way too much. And there was a few times when Thompson wasn't in the game and Williams was, and they just challenged Williams. Williams still not great on the pick and roll, but I'll tell you, though, he played 22 minutes. He had his 14 points. I think he needs to be more involved.
He can't. I mean, here's the problem.
He's got a hip injury from what
Ainge,
I heard.
Ainge talked about it on Touch and Ridge a couple weeks ago. Ainge literally said he's not ready and cannot handle the load that all the Celtics fans want him to.
Yeah, he's got a blood thing in his hip from what Ainge said.
He can't do it.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate because the guy makes an impact.
He does.
When he plays.
In my opinion, he's their best forward, best center, forward, whatever you want to call it. He's their best big man, but if he can't handle the load. And that, to me, Miles Turner is like one step aware, one step ahead of where Rob Williams is.
Miles Turner is probably
you had much Turner and Williams, and along with Daniel Tice, to me, you would never miss a beat in that front court. You would be fantastic at all times.
I'd still look to add a big if I'm them, a four that can play. Yeah. I would say, but anyway, Celtics covered last night. It goes over the total as well.
I mean, early on in the second quarter, it looked like this thing, it looked like it was going to be like a 140,
18-4, and then they took a basket off the board.
But in the middle of the second quarter, like, I think there was 6 minutes left, it was like 49-49. I was like, whoa.
What happened?
This game's going to go way, way over. It slowed down, and you know, especially in the third and fourth quarters, but like, there was no defense being played in that second quarter.
If I told you that the Celtics won last night and covered and it went over, with Jaylen Brown scoring 15 and Jason Tatum scoring 9, what would you say?
I would say that Kemba Walker had to have a hell of a game, and he did.
Pritchard, I thought, played pretty well last night, too. He was grinding it out there last night, all over the floor. You know, if he's going to play 30 minutes, Dan, you know, 9 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, it is what it is. They need help.
Yeah.
They need help.
And again, just to put it in perspective, I still don't think we talked about this Thursday night. I still don't think this team is anywhere near winning the East. So, like, one win should not change your evaluation.
You know it's funny that you say that? I was thinking about this last night. They're like 2 games out of first. I forget where they are. The standings are messed up. Like, they could lose one game and be in ninth place.
They're 6 games out of first.
Oh, they're 6 out of first.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's not good.
Yeah, they're 4 behind Milwaukee for third.
Okay, so third. They're like 2 games back of third.
They're 4 games back.
Okay, 4 games back. But if they lose one game, they can fall in ninth. It's just weird to me.
No, it's not that weird. The East got better. I mean, we talked about this in the beginning of the season. The Eastern Conference got better. Brooklyn became an elite team. Milwaukee added Jrue Holiday. I'd argue that Toronto did the least amount of adding, and I think that that's why they've struggled a little bit. But still, most of these teams added pieces. The Celtics took away a major piece of what they do. Like, you can say whatever you want about Gordon Hayward. They miss him. They miss him badly. They miss another scorer. They miss another wing. Like, they just miss him. So, yeah, they, you know, all these teams in the East, like Miami, New York, Boston, Indiana, Charlotte, Chicago, like, they're all, Toronto, they're all right there. Like, you know, the Celtics should make the playoffs, but it's going to be a grind. It's not going to be easy. Even Atlanta is right there, too. They're 2 games behind the Celtics right now. So,
the hell's going on with the Bruins right now? Back-to-back games where the second period just gets away from them. Rangers with a 6-2 win last night. So we're starting to see the overs hit. First period under hit last night again. Lost the night before.
Yep.
Got a little out of here. They struggle against the Islanders. Brad Marchand had a goal and an assist. Patrice Bergeron scored. Pastrnak had 2 assists. Tuukka had 28 saves. It's the 4th loss in 5 games for the Bees.
I mean, their defensive unit is really, really banged up right now.
It held them to this point. And
no Grizzlick, no Lazone. Now you're putting in Vakanainen, who I didn't get to see a ton of last night, to be fair, watch the Celtics, because I actually wanted to see if they would finally play after just consistent, you know, getting crapped on all week. John Moore, I did watch, you know, during the halftime break. John Moore was horrendous last night. I thought he was the worst player on the ice for the Bruins. Mm-hmm. And Vakanainen was, you know, close by. I thought Vakanainen got dragged down by Moore, but again, they just without Lazone. I mean, without Lazone, Zboril's playing. You know, Zboril just it feels like a bottom six guy, which sucks because you really hope that he would be a second pairing defender at least. You know, they're in trouble, honestly. And John Moore playing the second most minutes on, you know, in your defensive core. That's a recipe for disaster. That's a guy who was not a good player.
Well, if you look at him, like,
he's a third pairing guy at best.
They were under all year long, and you know they had that big game against Lake Tahoe where they scored a bunch of goals. They gave up a bunch of goals. They gave up a bunch of goals last night. So clearly it's their defense. I just want to bring this up. It's weird. Bruins are 3 of 21 in the power play over the last 8 games. They started 12 of 34.
I know. Well, I mean, again, you lose Grizzlick, who's a big part of your power play.
But it's like your power play stinks, but the games are going over. You know, it's just like, I don't know how to roll
right now. It's the defense. And again, they face the Rangers in one of those back-to-back. They play again tomorrow at 12. I'm assuming coverage will be on the sports up here at 11:30. You know, it's one of those games. Again, I would look over. Right now, the decor of this team is not in good shape. Luzon out for a month. I don't know how long Grizzlick sat off the top of my head. But as long as they don't have guys who put them in a good position to win, I mean, back and on, and you're expecting a lot from a kid. John Moore, again, sucks. He's terrible.
We knew that when they signed him. He's bad.
No, John Moore sucks, okay? And if he's your
Seattle Kraken, baby.
If he is your second leading guy in terms of time on ice for your defensive core, you are in trouble. Seriously.
Please, Seattle Kraken, John Moore.
No,
third line defense.
There's a 0% chance that happens. Zero. They're probably going Luzon if that probably will be the option. So, or Grizzlick.
All right. I want to make some money today, Dan. Had a nice night last night. Thursday started off bad, ended well, and ready to make some dough today. I love the dough more than you know. So let's get into the games of today. Coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Zone.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You blow money fast, I'm sad. Catch up. I think I'm Big Meech. Larry Hoover.
Yeah, let's start it off with a little Big Meech Larry Hoover. What do we got today, Dan?
I think this is the best college basketball card we'll have all year. Regular season college basketball card we'll have all year. It is ridiculous. It's loaded. It starts at 12 o'clock. It goes literally all day. You have to remember, this weekend is the weekend that all these bubble teams are playing to get. I mean, they have the conference tournaments, but like, this is down the stretch here. You got to win your games if you're the final four in, the last eight out, whatever it is. Like, you know, and it starts early today and it starts often. There are a lot of really, really important games, even games for non-ranked teams. Like, there's a lot of really important games here, Joe.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at it here. Saturday the 6th. I'm just wondering when conference starts.
So America,
13th. Yep.
I believe the America East Conference tournament starts this week. The first round starts today.
Money time.
And I believe the Big South starts today. I believe those are the two conference tournaments that start today.
The whole week of the 8th is all conference tournaments. So selection Sunday. Okay. So yep. So Sunday the 7th is the last of the, like, for example, Michigan State's next Saturday. Florida, Tennessee, Houston, Memphis, Wisconsin, Iowa.
Yeah.
But, Texas Tech, Baylor.
You're gonna start seeing the lower conference tournaments of the America East, as we just kind of talked about the Big South. Like those conference tournaments, I assume the SoCon will, you know, go off sometime this week or next week. Like, you're gonna see the smaller conferences have their conference play and their conference tournaments starting this week and into next week. I mean, it's,
what would you say the game of today is?
I'm
going to throw out Baylor, Kansas.
I mean, that probably is the game.
And Kansas has played better. Dude, Kansas is big. What's his name in the middle there? Well, they had Azubuike a year ago. I'm trying to. I'll find it.
McCormick.
But, yeah, McCormick is. Okay. He can be dominant. He's a great passer. Great passer. Which makes me think he could play at the next level. But he's been the difference. Kansas starting to turn the corner a little bit. I've watched. I think Texas Tech's taking a step back though, and they played Texas today. Auburn, I liked how they. Auburn's nothing without their point guard. That kid's legit.
He's been in my opinion. He's been the second best freshman in the country.
Yeah, you got Illinois, Wisconsin today. That's a good one. Wisconsin's favorite.
Again, no DeSumo for Illinois.
And then Arkansas of late. What's going on with them? I know they started.
Arkansas might be the hottest team in the country. They just ruined Alabama at home by 15. They've won 5 straight. They have destroyed in every single one of those games at their road win at Kentucky, which they held on by a point late. A couple back-to-back road wins at Kentucky and Missouri. Now, Kentucky's playing much better as of late. I think they could make some real noise in the SEC tournament, too. But, I mean, really, you beat Mississippi State going away. You have a couple road wins at Kentucky, Missouri. You have an easy home win at Florida, destroy Alabama. I mean, Arkansas is the hottest team right now maybe in the country. They're rolling. 5 in a row. 8 of their last 9, they're doing it, man.
I watched them and I'm like, what is it about this team? They got a kid named Moses Moody who's pretty good. But I watched them and I'm like, what is it with this team?
I mean, Moody's been really good. Their guard play, Jalen Tate and Justin Smith. Jalen Tate, especially from the guard position, has been really, really good as of late. He's up his play. Justin Smith, too. He's been hurt off and on this year. But when he's played, he's been really important to their success as well. So, I mean, it's... They're raising their game at the right time. They're probably hoping for a 4 seed instead of that 5 seed or 6 seed. So they're right in that area where I think that DraftKings had them at over under 5.5 as the seed in the tournament. And I think right now they're looking potentially at a 4 seed. Hmm. So especially if they win the next few games. I mean, LSU handled them early in the season. So LSU at South Carolina, Texas A&M, you got to take care of business if you're Arkansas. And, we'll see what happens from there.
Watch what LSU did last week to Auburn, man. Wow. They can score. Like, I didn't think LSU was that good, man. Wow. They're impressive. Very impressive. They got a kid named Cameron Thomas that I thought was lights out. And Charles Manning, I know he hasn't played a lot this year. Dude, I don't know how many threes last week. But LSU is – the SEC is a sneaky little conference this year.
I mean, for my money, they're the third best conference. It's Big Ten, Big 12, SEC. I know everyone loves the Big East every year after year. No. I don't think that the Big East has been – I don't think that it's been comparable. They have depth in that conference. I mean, Marquette can beat anyone on a nightly basis, but still, it's just right now the conference play just isn't even close.
Villanova is the best team in that conference.
Yeah,
followed by Creighton.
Creighton,
and then what? Seton Hall, UConn. I mean, I don't even think any of those teams matter.
I mean, UConn's not in the tournament right now. They're one of the first 4 out. So I mean, you're looking at 2 to 3 teams making. The tournament from the Big East, it's unheard of. The conference is down this year, and just compared to the other conferences, it's not very close.
You mentioned Big 12, though. Baylor, that's 10-0. Dude, like, they're rolling. West Virginia and Oklahoma, to me, are the big surprises. Oklahoma plays Oklahoma State today. I watched Oklahoma State play the other night, went into overtime. Like, Cade Cunningham, he's starting to – I think he might be the number one pick.
I mean, yeah, he should be, I think. But, again, you think about how crazy this is. The Big 12 – Texas Tech is 7th in the Big 12. Texas is 5th in the Big 12. Like, it's crazy right now where how deep this conference is. Like, yes, Kansas State, Iowa State, those teams suck. I know Kansas State just beat Oklahoma in that crazy game, but those teams, yes, they suck. So you have two bottom feeders in the conference, but even TCU, they're 4-8. They're still a good team. In the Big East, I think they'd be competitive. It's just you have Baylor, West Virginia, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Oklahoma State, Texas. They're deep. It's a deep conference. They're really, really, really good.
Can I give you another one that's overrated? And I know you're big on this in college football. The ACC is really overrated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean,
I think Florida State's a good team. Don't get me wrong. Defensive team. The fact that they can just, year in and year out, Kid Barnes, man. I think that kid's a lottery pick. I've raved about this kid for weeks, Dan. I heard a comparison, and I was like, not bad. Like a Scottie Pippen comparison for him. And you don't want to put Hall of Famers like on someone's gravestone early on, but they rotate so many guys, play so well. The thing is, though, I don't know if Florida State's that type of tournament team. You know, like they play so much defense, and then Virginia. I don't know, like they can get beat again.
Virginia, for my money, is one of those teams you look at and they're like they're one and done. Like, just don't forget about that San Francisco game earlier in the season. Again, San Francisco is not very competitive, in that conference. Virginia feels like a potential one and done for me. Yes, they.
We should do this next week when we start looking at conference tournaments.
I think
Duke UNC is like there might be value in them possibly winning their tournament. It's the only way they're going to get in.
So our one of the listeners, Colin Steele, good dude, talked to him a lot. He just sent me a guide for the conference tournaments. Okay, so here's what we got: the Horizon Tournament, which we talked about, started Thursday. They continue next Tuesday. They finish off March 8th and 9th.
This is very nicely done.
Big South starts today, goes Monday, Thursday, and finishes next Sunday. America East starts today and tomorrow, goes next Friday, or sorry, next Saturday, and finishes the Saturday after that. After that, we have a couple conference tournaments to start this week. Let's see. The Patriot League starts this week. The A-10, which is a pretty big conference, starts Tuesday, goes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, finishes next Sunday. There's a lot. Ohio Valley starts this week. Atlantic Sun starts this week. Pretty much every conference tournament starts this upcoming week. I mean, this is, there are some teams, for a couple more, but it's just ridiculous.
How about that 7-5 UMass Minutemen this year, huh? Fourth in the A-10. What a crap league. The Bonnies, 13-3 VCU, 17-5. Richmond, I thought, was good early on. Well, they're still 13-6, I guess. And I like Davidson. So if I was going to, Dayton Flyers. Rhode Island, woof. What happened to them this year?
I mean,
woof.
They were expected to kind of fall.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a quick break. I see our buddy Dan on hold. We'll get to him. He's got a couple of games he wants to talk about today. All that coming up next here on the Sports Hub.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub. Is this Daft Punk? Sad.
Doing a little tribute or talk?
A little bit. Well, just, I saw it in the library. I was like, hey, you know what? Why the hell not?
I wonder why they broke up.
I mean, 28 years together.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. I wonder if we can get the odds on if they get back together.
Probably not.
I would say definitely not. I will take that. I will take that bet. How about that?
Yeah. Hey, just for fun, because I saw Kevin Paul DuPont write this today. You know how the guard, they can let fans now back into sporting events? Over or under the 2,000 that can go in, do you think there'll be 2,000 people that show up? Or, like, do you think it hits the threshold?
Oh, yeah, easily. Yeah, I think season ticket holders will all go.
Oh, yeah, easily.
I think that's a debate.
And that's even despite massively. The way the team, because the way that he put it, and I'm just not speaking for him, I'm just reading his tweet. He wrote, this is 24 minutes ago. Based on how the Celtics and Bruins are playing, each may be challenged to attract 2,000 of the guard when doors open in end of March.
Yeah, I think he's I think he's trying to get across a political point of view there, and I think it has nothing to do with
how 40 plus years I've found out this
week. I think it has nothing to do with how those teams are playing. I think it's just a lot of these guys don't want to see the doors open yet, which is, you know, that's a different discussion, and I think that, but of course, you'll get 2,000 Celtics fans in there just to boo the team if they're bad, like, of course.
You'll get the Bruins fans.
I mean, you'll get 4 million Bruins. Yeah, you're right. Come on.
I definitely go over.
Easily.
Would you guys go?
Yeah. I'm not going to.
I mean,
I'm not scared
or anything. I just don't know if I want to, like, I don't know. How much are these tickets going to be? Well, the season ticket holders pay them, whatever.
Well, again,
I don't think they're going to be outrageous.
Yeah.
It's going to be from the team. We're not talking about the secondary.
This is going to be a topic I'll be doing tomorrow on the Joe Show at 3 o'clock here on 98.5 The Sports. But I got my invoice for Patriots season tickets. And I'm wondering. They gave me till June to make a decision. And, you know.
Can we find out who the quarterback
is? I mean, I want to go to the Brady game in New England. Like, that might be worth the price of the whole season.
Might be worth selling that.
But that's a problem. I might not be able to get what I used to get.
Right.
You know? And this is the first time I have tickets where Tom Brady's not the quarterback, because last year there was no fans. So, little tease for tomorrow, just to throw that out there.
Nice.
We got games today, and people want to talk about them. Hey, Dan, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on? I got this Navy Loyola game. I know you guys always say it. If it looks like a fish, smells like a fish, it probably is a fish. The last game that these teams played, Navy blew them out by almost 20. No, Loyola's 5-7 against the spread. Navy's 12-3.
Dude, I looked at this game all day, Dan.
Navy's the fourth best team in the country.
I'm trying to wrap my head around
it. I don't know why it's fine. They're actually 1-point dogs right now.
Depending on where you get it, I see it going both ways.
Navy's 9-1 in their last 10 games. They're 8-2 against the spread.
I believe they're tied for the fourth best against the spread record in the country. Here's the thing. We kind of saw something similar the other night in the Montana game. We talked about that. Now, that was a road game. It wasn't a home game for Montana, but they were facing an Idaho State team that was, again, I would say Idaho State is the significantly better team at home. The spread was Montana 2.5. What did Montana do? They blew them out. I mean, maybe not blew them out. They beat them by 6. They were blowing them out in the first half. Idaho State came back in the second half. But Montana ended up getting that win. This is a scary, scary line. I don't know. It's up to you, Dan. This is one where I'm like, I think I have to stay away.
Dan, if I got my bankroll out, I'm going Navy midshipman here.
No, I can't do it.
That's why I'm trying to wrap my head around it. And the over-under is at 133 right now. You know, Navy, they're averaging about 70. And Loyola, they're hit or miss. You know, they'll put up 80 one night, and then who knows what they're going to put up the next. But, you know, with the Patriot League championship, the tournament starting, do you think that has any effect on this line right now?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, what I could tell you is Navy has been an elite against spread team this year.
6-0 on the road.
And now they're 1-point favorite. Now it is a back-to-back. Tomorrow they'll be at Navy, you know, instead of at Loyola.
They've played 18 games. They're 15-3 against the spread. I know where my money's going today.
I would be scared. I would be weary of doing that. We talked about just saying, putting it out there. We would be weary about that. I would be weary about that.
I am. And, you know, the under has also been pretty in favor of Navy right now.
I would avoid the total. Yeah. Loyola at home, dude, has been a much better offensive team. I know they had a bad outing versus American last time. They still won the game, but at home this year, Loyola, I mean, they haven't played a lot of home games. Loyola's put up 79, 75, 88, 72, and 60. Like, I just, you're playing with fire there unless you really think that Navy's going to absolutely blow it tonight.
The one thing I will notice is last Saturday, I feel like every game went over the total. Like, just every game went over. I was like, all right, I like the, nope, the overhit. So I don't know if these Saturday games, you know, they're, I don't know. It's just something to consider there, but I don't know, man. I'd lay off the total. I like Navy, but from what I'm reading here, Loyola has split their last 8 games 4-4, but they're playing better. It doesn't matter to me. But these fishy line, bro, be careful.
Stay away from the Ducks.
Yeah, and dude, what did I tell you about them Ducks? They're so talented.
I know.
You know what their problem is? They don't have a real point guard. But like Duarte's a good player.
They could use a Peyton Pritchard.
But no, like seriously, Duarte's their point guard. He's just not a real point guard.
He's an off the ball guard.
And
Pritchard's an on the ball. I mean, seriously, if Pritchard was still on this team, then that team would be really good.
They are loaded with talent. I don't know, dude. The whole entire, the Conference of Champions. Where's Bill Walton? The Conference of Champions. USC. USC's playing. UCLA -1 the other night against Utah. UCLA rolls.
Yep.
Today, Utah again at home. USC off a loss. 5.5 today. Today, I lean Utah today, and I don't know what it is. I don't know. Weird, scary feeling.
USC got smacked Colorado.
I've told you about Colorado. 3 good scorers, and they don't lose at Boulder. They don't lose there. I still think USC is the best team.
Also coming off that big win over Oregon. They blew out Oregon. Again, it's one of those. Yeah. It wasn't a letdown game per se, but we talked about USC's struggles on the road, in Thursday's podcast. I mean, their lack of struggle on the road. They've been very good on the road this year, but they've had a few moments where it's like, you know, what's going on? And man, that game versus Colorado, they crapped the bed. They did. It wasn't close.
Andrew and Alston, what's up, bud?
What's up?
Gentlemen, how are we?
Good.
Good. All right, I got 3 points quick. One, Dan, just for the record, my Brad Stevens hate really comes from me losing money on the Celtics, and I have to direct it somewhere. So those homer bets go to my.
Hey, can I just point something out to you on that? I sometimes don't love Stevens, but I made this reference. I crapped all over Ron Reinicke this year when everyone's like, Joe, why the team stinks? But like, there were times where I'm like, no, this manager really stinks. Like, doesn't give him a chance. Stevens gives him a chance. It's just that he has this deck of cards, right? Like, we were just talking about Robert Williams. Williams can't play 20 minutes a game. He can't.
Yep.
He did last night. He physically can't. So it's like, All right, we got to keep Thompson in the game then. You know what I mean? And Thompson's not an offensive player. He's just not. So, like, I want to defend Brad in a way that's like, he's dealing with the cards that he has. But listen, dude, they won last night with Tatum with 9 points and Brown at 15. So if we're going to be mad, I've lost money too on them. I'm starting to get pissed at Jaylen Brown is where it's starting to go now.
And Tatum, like you guys were saying. But the point guards did ball last night, so that was good to see. Second, my soccer pick, which I'm going to give a disclaimer, everyone might want to fade. I've been so cold and call-in picks and just normal picks.
Welcome to the cold team.
But I'm going to go with Leipzig -1 at home against my club, Borussia Mönchengladbach. So I'm going to take Leipzig.
What is this? La Liga? What are we doing?
Bundesliga.
It's Bundesliga. Even money. Mönchengladbach just played midweek against Manchester City. And so I really like Leipzig there. And then lastly, since my alma mater, Arizona, banned themselves from the tournament and they just aren't that good, I don't think they would have made it anyway. My club this year, book it, when Grand Canyon wins the Western Athletic Conference, I'm going to put a bet on them to make the Final Four. That's my team. Lopes up. Let's go.
Grand Canyon. I mean, you know who would love that one? It's Fred Toucher.
I mean, we've legitimately bet Grand Canyon multiple times on the Toucher and Rich show. We've given them out. Grand Canyon has probably the best home court in the WAC. They're really good team, man. But I mean, they're struggling as of late. They've lost two in a row. They're at Seattle tonight, I believe. I don't know what the spread is in that one. They need to get back on track with a W. They need to get back on track with a W tonight, man.
I got a story I want to share with you guys when it comes to conference tournament. Grand Canyon. 13-5.
They are 4-point favorites today on the road at Seattle. Coming off an outright loss. Where they lost by 6. They lost to Bakersfield too. Bakersfield's been sneaky good at times this year.
Utah Valley too. Been pretty sneaky good.
I mean, Grand Canyon played Arizona State tough, but Arizona State sucks. They lost to Colorado, lost to the Dons in San Francisco. Grand Canyon, I'm telling you, they're a fun team, but they're a home team. They have a really good home court advantage. I'm passing on the Lopes this year. Sorry, Andrew. I just don't think they're that talented.
I don't think I've watched a Sun Belt basketball game this year.
I watched Georgia State yesterday.
13-5. I'll take a quick break.
Okay.
And I just want to bring up something regarding conference tournament play that I think people should really look into. Coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports Zone.
The DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Back here at 98.5 The Sports Hub, just wanted to share an old story, Dan.
Please.
We talked about that Jay Morant team from Murray State, and I don't know what it was. I was feeling it, man. I was feeling it. The bankroll was great, you know. There wasn't as many as expenses. It was not a married man, you know. All that stuff's out there.
COVID wasn't a thing,
you know. It wasn't a thing, you know. You're just a degenerate. That's all you do all day. Right?
I remember this story.
And so I'm like, all right, let's go to the Mississippi Valley, whatever it's called. What tournament are they in?
Yeah, well, now they're the OVC.
Oh, yeah, the OVC, sorry. So Ohio Valley.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I'm going to ride Murray State all the way. So I put 500 on Murray State. They won and covered. So I won that 500. Then I put 1,000 on Murray State. They won and covered.
The old double down.
So then I put 2,000 on Murray State. And I think they won in overtime.
They did.
And covered.
Yep.
And then it's the I'm putting $4,000 down. And so I just said whatever I won, I just kept doubling it. And here comes Murray State, Jay Morant. I forget who they played. Jacksonville State, I forget who it was. And I'm like, here we go. One of the biggest bets of my lifetime. I'm going Murray State. And I even said, if they win today, I am buying a Murray State shirt. Yeah, they beat Jackson State that year. Jacksonville State. And they were pretty good. And it's like halftime. And I'm like, why is Jacksonville State winning? What's going on here? And like Murray State went on like a 20-2 run and won the game and covered. So I had an $8,000 bankroll going into the tournament game. And I get to the tournament, and I told you, I'm going to bet every single game in the first round.
I was in Vegas. You called me.
I remember this.
I was like, Joe, I was on the phone with you. I did a call in. You're like, I'm betting every single game. And I was like, wait, what?
I'm betting every game on the board.
I can tell you.
Let's just say it did not go well, people. And I bet against Murray State and they won. Who did they beat? Who did they beat?
That's the best part.
I forgot.
Like Jay Morant had like this coming out party in a national champion tournament game or whatever, and I bet against them. What was I doing?
I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't remember
every single game.
Oh gosh!
I mean, why did I just throw the $8,000 on them in the tournament? I would have said, "See you guys later." I'm out of here for a little while. But anyways, find a team. And ride them in the tournament.
I'm trying to remember who they played.
Ride them. All right. Well, if you think, because, dude, Belmont lost the other night, right?
They beat Marquette.
Remember, Marquette was good.
Yeah.
Marquette was, did they had Howard and who else was on the team? I forget.
They had a bunch of kids.
The Hauser brothers, were actually pretty good
then.
They
wrecked Marquette.
They smoked Marquette. Marquette was like one of the best teams in the country. Marquette, and Jay Morant kicked their ass.
Marquette was a 5 seed. They beat them by 19. Now, they got dismantled by Florida State in the next round.
True.
But, yikes.
So, anyways, I just wanted to share that story. So, like, now I need a team. I don't know if Grand Canyon's that team, but it looks good to me.
I mean, oh, man.
Imagine following the Grand Canyon Antelopes. You can't do the 500,000, 2,000 game, though.
You can do whatever you want.
No,
I'm not.
No.
You're a grown man. No, you can do whatever you want.
No.
Oh, okay.
Nope.
You're married now with responsibilities.
No, yeah, maybe $100, $200, maybe 2 to 4, four to six, you know? Because you need a bankroll going into the tournament, everybody. I can't believe I faded them in that first round.
So funny.
What the hell was I doing?
I don't remember.
And, dude, it was a
12-5 matchup, too.
I'll never forget. I watched, UNC was up, 28 points or something. They were, 18.5-point favorites, and a dude hit a three at the buzzer, a meaningless three at the buzzer.
I remember that.
And UNC didn't cover, and I'm like, this is not my day. there was a game that went into overtime. That first round was wild. Who else? Oh, that was the Loyola year, right? Yeah, I think that was the Loyola year.
Yeah, it was that was, yep.
The damn Sister Jean or whatever her name is.
I hated Sister Jean. Yes, I know. Everyone loved her. She was America's sweetheart. I couldn't stand her. Could not stand her. Couldn't stand her.
You hate that old lady?
I didn't hate her. I just hate the fact that the whole country loved her. I was like, why?
I think they played Tennessee. A ball literally, it might have even been Grant Williams, literally laid the ball in. And somehow, the ball pops out.
Yeah, Sister Jean.
And Loyola wins. Sister Jean. And I remember it was St. Patrick's Day, and I'm like,
yeah, it was my birthday.
How do they do this? And, dude, the tournament will be wild this year because there's going to be COVID stuff happening.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.